Thank you for tuning in. We had a great parking lot service today. A lot of folks here. A lot of folks. I'm not even sure who all was here. It was cold and it was windy, but it was wonderful preaching the Word of God. It is 6 o'clock. This is Pastor Tom Holt from Hope Baptist Church on US 50 in Dillsboro, Indiana. And I'm going to be bringing a message tonight on how to win someone to Jesus Christ. We are going to go through the plan of salvation. So let me just say this. I'm talking to you tonight. If you're here and you're saved tonight, then maybe you need to confirm it. Maybe it's been a long time and you're just not really sure about it. Well, then this message is for you. Or if you want to win your friends or your loved ones, your family members to Jesus Christ, this message is directed to you also. Write down these verses as I go through them, and it will help you. What I'd do if I get a new Bible, and before I learned where these verses were, I would start at that first verse, and I'd go out to the side of my Bible, and I'd write the next verse that I was going to use. That way, when I got to that verse, I would write out the following verse after that on what I was going to go to in order to win someone to Jesus Christ. So if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, this is a good night to do that. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. I'm not going to preach to you religion tonight. When I got saved from religion. It was a religious crowd that gave our Lord so many fits. It wasn't the guys down at the bar. That's the flesh. It was the religious crowd. I'm not preaching religion. I'm preaching a man, Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5:10, it says, "For and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So right now, if you have a Bible, take it. If you have a King James Bible, turn to Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10, we're going to get started here, and I'm going to deal with you individually. Now pay attention. This will show you, it's sometimes referred to as the Romans Road, on how you can get saved and to know you're saved tonight. You don't have to guess whether you're saved or not. In 1 John 5:13, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay? First of all, the Bible says that you're a mess. It says you're a mess. You're a mess. I'm a mess. The Bible says everyone's a mess. Said we've all gone out of the way. We have all become an unclean thing. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that's in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then if you will go to Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you, and it includes me, it includes the Pope, it included Billy Graham, it includes President Trump, it includes Nancy Pelosi. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the Bible says that you're a mess, I'm a mess, and the only way to get out of our mess is to pay the penalty for sin. My, what a terrible thing. If you go to Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn because of our sin. There's a penalty that God requires for our sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So you have an option there. You can either pay for your sins yourself. You die, and then the Bible says death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. You can pay for your sins with your death, or you can make a choice to trust Jesus Christ and his death burial, and resurrection as an atonement for your sin and be redeemed from that penalty of sin. That's your choice. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One thing I want you to notice about that verse says the gift of God. What is a gift? You don't earn a gift. If you had to earn it, it wouldn't be called a gift. If you could get to heaven by being good, that verse would not have said that it is a gift of God. If I told you tonight that if you go wash my truck, I'll give you $10. That's not a gift. That's wages. That's something you earn. But if I say, hey, I think you're a pretty good fella, pretty nice lady, here's $10. That's a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now to back that up, let's go to Ephesians 2, chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. Most of you here have heard the song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Well, you know what grace is? Grace is Webster says it is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is something that you don't earn, you don't deserve, you don't have coming to you. It's who God is. Through His grace and His mercy, He gives you something. That's grace. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. What's that faith talking about? That's faith has to be in God's provision for sin. God's provision for sin is Jesus Christ. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now remember that it said it's the gift of God, not of works. And here it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It isn't by being good. It isn't by joining your local lodge. You don't get to heaven by keeping the commandments or keeping the sacraments or being kind to animals. You get to heaven by trusting in what Jesus Christ did in your place, trusting in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Because He lives, you're able to live. You're able to live eternally, forever. How long is that? All right, we've established a couple things. I'm about to fall down here. We've established that you're a sinner. We've also established that I'm a sinner. But I'm a saved sinner. You know why? Because I trusted in Jesus Christ for my salvation. It isn't because of what wonderful things that I've done. I've been pastoring this church for, I'm in my 21st year. But you know what? God loves you as much as He loves me. And I get to heaven the same way anybody else does, by trusting Jesus Christ. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. All right, here in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. That faith is in Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Then it says in verse 9, not of works. You don't earn it, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what that means? That means if you could earn your way to heaven, you'd have something to brag about. You could boast about it. Oh, look what I did. That's what Cain did. Cain said, oh, look at all the works of my labor. See what I did. He's trying to impress God. God wasn't impressed with Cain, but Abel shows up with a bloody little lamb in humility, and God accepted Abel's offering because of the blood. Without the blood, there is no remission, without the shedding of blood. All right, now you've learned that you're a mess, that I'm a mess, and that there's a penalty that God requires for sin. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right. Now here's a problem that I had. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. You know the problem that I had with coming to God and coming to Christ? I thought I had to be that religious guy. And I put it off. You know why? Because I'm not that pious, churchy, religious guy walking around. I couldn't be that guy. That's just not who I am. So what chance would I have getting saved? And then I came to this verse in Romans 5:8, and it set me free. This verse turned the light on for me concerning my salvation. It says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us. What's that mean? That means it's toward you, it's in your direction, it's available to you right now as I speak. God's love is commended toward you, and it's available to you. But God commendeth His love, now watch it, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know what that verse just said? That verse just said that God will accept you for salvation just exactly like you are. My, preacher, I've never heard that before. Well, you've heard it now, and it didn't come from me. It came from an old King James 16:11 Bible. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He'll accept you for salvation just exactly like you are. When you come to the cross, you're going to have baggage. When I came to the cross, I had baggage. You're going to have some ways that God don't like. You're going to have a sinful past. The Lord said, come, let us reason together, he says in Isaiah. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. God commendeth his love toward you. It's available to you right now. He commendeth his love toward you, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just to know, when I figured out from the Word of God that God would accept me just like I was, no matter what baggage I had, man, you talk about a weight lifted off to my shoulder. Why would I put it off any longer? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So I reached out and I trusted Christ. How about you? Let's go to Romans 10:9-10. Do you believe Jesus is who he said he was? Do you know you're a sinner? You believe Jesus is the Christ, believe he's God's precious son, that he died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what Paul said the gospel was. He find the gospel over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-4. He says, I've delivered unto you first of all that which you have also received, and wherein ye stand, how that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. The Bible says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just be sorry for what you got caught, sorry because somebody knows, but you need to be understand that you've offended a holy God, and without God, you're going to split hell wide open. It don't matter how religious you are or how wonderful your neighbors think you are. The Bible says in Ezekiel 33:13, if a man look to his righteousness and commit one iniquity, for that one iniquity he shall perish, and all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. It just takes one sin. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? When they sinned, God withdrew his image, his spirit from Adam and Eve. That's why the Lord said, you must be born again. Adam, the first Adam was earthy of the earth. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, was a quickening spirit. Whenever you trust Jesus Christ, you're born again and renewed in the image of God. That family relationship is restored. In Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wow! Did you notice that? It said thou shalt be saved. Didn't say maybe. It didn't say you might be saved. It didn't say there's a good possibility that you could be saved. It says thou shalt be saved. You've got God's word on it. Now let me tell you something about God's word. My soul is anchored to the veracity of God's word. If God says it, it's going to happen. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it, or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? You've got God's word on it that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, it can't just be from the teeth out, it's got to be from the heart. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No maybes to it. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. By two immutable things, one in that God, it is impossible for God to lie. God has to do what he says he will do. Well, why do you say that, preacher? Because God is holy. He can't deny himself. He can't deny his own holiness. If he could lie to you, then he wouldn't be holy anymore, and he would have to operate outside of his own holy character. But God will do what he says he'll do. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Man, what a thing. That ought to set you free. See, God can't back up on what he tells you that he's going to do. There's a verse that says, God is faithful and cannot deny himself. Don't say he might not. It says he cannot deny himself. God has to do what he says he will do because of his own holiness. He will not violate his own holiness. You have the word of God. He said that he esteemed his word above his name. So he's going to do what he says he'll do whenever you from the heart reach out by faith and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. That's the simplicity of Christ. Oh, we want to complicate it. We'll tell him, oh, you got to keep the commandments. Oh, you got to be baptized a certain way. You got to confess a certain way. You have to repent a certain way. You have to believe a certain way. You can believe Simon the sorcerer did. You can confess Balaam did. You can be baptized. Judas was. You can repent. Pharaoh did. But except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to come to Christ, and you need to come to him tonight. You need to come to him right now. And what you need is to look at your own self and where you are, and know that without the holiness of God, you'll never make it to heaven. You'll never be able to sit in the presence of a holy God, because you're not holy without Jesus Christ. The Bible says whenever you trust Christ, you're born again in the image of God, and you become a new creature in Christ. It says your life then is hid with Christ in God. What a wonderful thing, the simplicity of Christ. If I had to do something religious, I'd have never made it, because I'm not that guy. In fact, when I got saved, God saved me from the religionist. I'm not here trying to impress God with how good I am and how holy I am and how pious I am. I'm here to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, what I'm going to deal with you now is what's known as a sinner's prayer. And we get that from that verse I just quoted, where the two go down to the temple to pray in the evening, and one's a publican, the other's a sinner, one's a religious guy, the other's just an old street guy. And the religious guy says, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this old street fella here. Glad I'm not like him. Look at me, Lord. I tithe and I go to church every Sunday, and I do all kinds of wonderful religious things. Lord, glad I'm not like this guy. And that fella from off the street just smote himself on the breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord said, that's the one that's justified. What God wants you to do today is look at your heart. He wants you to come to him in repentance, with a repentant heart. If you know you're a sinner and you're sorry for your sins, why don't you just reach out by faith now? And I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And it don't have to be my words. I'm just going to take you through it, because it comes from the heart. The Bible says that God is able to discern the very thoughts and intents of your heart. So what I'm looking at, what God is looking at this moment, is the condition of your heart. I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer. If you want to get saved tonight, if you want to confirm your salvation, then you want you to pray this prayer with me. Oh, that's the simplicity of Christ. Not the prayer, it's the heart condition and the repentant heart that turns to Jesus Christ for salvation. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight, Lord. I know I'm a mess. I know I'm a sinner, Lord. And yes, Lord, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that you're the Christ, the very Son of God. Lord, and I'm coming to you the best way I know how, and I'm asking you, Lord, the best way I know how, to have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I now receive you as my personal Savior. And all this I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now listen to me. If you prayed that prayer tonight and you meant it from the heart, why would God refuse you? He said, for whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's not looking for a way to keep you out of heaven. He's looking for a way to turn your heart toward him. If your heart was toward him tonight, and you meant what you said from the heart,
He won't refuse you. You've got his word on it from a God, a holy God who cannot lie, who it's impossible for him to lie. Trust him. Believe him. Anchor to the veracity of God's word. Get you an old King James Bible. There's been more souls saved out of this old black book than all the 300 new versions put together. Get you an old King James Bible, and the Bible says to seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Do that. He won't refuse you. He won't refuse you. He'll tell you how to live. There's three goals that I have for my church here at Hope Baptist. Number one, that you fall in love with the Lord. You seek him early and you shall find him. Fall in love with the Lord. And secondly, fall in love with his precious word, that precious word of God. And thirdly, just do your best to live like that book tells you to live. You'll learn as you go, whenever you're not going to be sinlessly perfect, you're going to fall into sin. And when you do, you have an advocate now with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, seated at the right hand of God. And he tells us to confess our sins. When you fall into sin, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You get up, you shake yourself off, and you go on for God. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we're not judged. Whenever you fall into sin, you judge it immediately. Say, God, I know I did wrong. I know I sinned. God, forgive me. If we judge ourselves, we're not judged. But I tell you what, if you ignore God, if you've trusted Christ, you become a child of God. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as the Father, the child in whom he delighteth. My, you better look out, because God's now your heavenly Father, and he won't put up with some of the stuff that you've been doing. You're under a new administration now. You're under the administration of the Holy Ghost of God, and God wants you to live right and to do right and to act right and to talk right and to do right. So why don't you get into the book? Get into the book. Get into a church. Get into an old Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Not no newfangled bunch of contemporary hocus-pocus, but the very Word of God that is tested true down through the centuries. The precious Word of God. Get into a local church. That's that family of God where we meet together. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Surely the day is approaching. If you're here tonight, and I pray that if you are here tonight and you're looking at this message, hearing this message, that there's really no reason for you to go to hell. If you go to hell, don't blame God. It's not his fault. You had the opportunity. You've got the opportunity right now to get saved. If you prayed that prayer from the heart, you meant it from the heart, that the Word of God is able to discern your very thoughts and intents of that heart tonight, and he would, that precious Spirit of God would have entered into your soul, and that spirit that was dead was quickened by Jesus Christ. Born again. God told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you become part of that kingdom if you've trusted Christ tonight. Get into a church, get into the book. And God will show you what you need to do and how you need to live. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be easier than you had it before. I can guarantee you that. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. Trust God. He'll give you a joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Your life will be changed. When your heart changes toward God, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, then your life will change. That Word of God is able to, and the gospel of God is able to knock the whiskers off a drunkard's face. It's able to take the dope addict, the meth head out of the gutter and put him on a solid rock to serve God. Won't you do that? Won't you do that? And I'll tell you one other thing I'd like you to do. If you got saved tonight, I want you to go call somebody who's been praying for you, because somebody probably has. It may be your mama. It may be your old sainted granny that's been praying for you for years. Maybe it's a Sunday school or an aunt teacher, a Sunday school teacher or an aunt or an uncle. Why not call them and say, I just got saved. I trusted Jesus Christ. Get some closure on this thing. Come and see us. Come and see us Sunday morning. We've got a drive-in church going on with this coronavirus that's plagued our country and the world. But we're not holding back on the gospel. We're still preaching it hard. We're preaching it loud. And we're preaching it to whosoever will. The Lord said, whosoever will, let him come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him come. And whosoever thirsteth, let him come to the water and drink. Thank you for listening to me tonight. I pray that somebody watching this message, hearing this message, trusted Jesus Christ tonight. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your precious mercy and grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God, Lord, and the authority of it, Lord. And thank you for the fact that you cannot lie to us, and we have an anchor that we can hold on to through eternity, Lord. Thank you for that precious blood on the cross, Lord, your precious Son, and the cruel cross of Calvary, and the price that he paid so that I might be justified, so that any might be justified before you, Lord, by reaching out by faith and trusting in that precious blood. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for this church and the workers, the laborers that labor together for your work, Lord, and your word, and for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.